In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliott, helping you to run the race of life each day with an eternal view. We have a question and answer session today. Let's get started.
The typical mother who might be listening today, where does she really need help?
So many of them say to me that they really feel as if they're not doing anything. They are so busy, they are exhausted, so obviously they're not needing something else to fill up their time. But they are being made to feel that what they're doing is not significant, it is not fulfilling, and any woman who's worth her salt is going to get out of it if she can. Let somebody else do the cleaning, let somebody else take care of the kids, and you get yourself an attaché case or another degree or read the Wall Street Journal and get out and do something, quote, fulfilling, unquote.
And your counsel to her is?
That womanhood is, first of all, a gift from God. It was nothing to do with her. She had no options. God does not ask us what sex we want to be any more than he asks us what year we'd like to be born or what set of genes we'd like to have. He gives us certain conditions which are the terms of our existence, and it is within those terms that we are to glorify him. So I say to a young woman, it was God's idea to make you a woman. It was God's idea to make you a mother. Both of these things are gifts of his grace. And the gifts which God gives are always appropriate to the job that he wants you to do. Far from feeling guilty, you should recognize that the gift that you have been given is that which was given also to Mary, who, because she accepted it with thanksgiving and total surrender, was called the most highly exalted among women.
And so you see womanhood and motherhood as really a stewardship.
Yes. I would say it's also a vocation. It's a calling. God calls us to be women, and I feel no need to apologize or to be embarrassed or shy about saying, yes, I'm a woman, I'm a grandmother, I'm a mother. If God had never given me any other kind of work to do except those jobs, I would feel greatly fulfilled in that those were God's will for me. I realize I'm talking to many women who are not given the gift of motherhood. What about me, they say? And my answer is, each of us is given the gift which is appropriate to the job that God wants us to do, whether it's singleness, whether it's marriage without children, or marriage with children. And it's our job, first of all, to receive that gift with both hands and say, Lord, if this is what you want to give me, I'll take it. That's what Mary said.
How does, then, this frustrated mother, wife, respond to the intimidation around her? We're living in a society that says, this is beneath your dignity. This is not the best life you could live.
Well, if she's a Christian woman, she will recognize that the one who created the sun and the moon and the stars and the clams and the Scotty dogs is also the one who designed men and women, two separate modalities under which he himself is glorified. The Christian's object in life is to glorify God, to do what he wants them to do, and ultimately to enjoy him. So that makes a tremendous difference, I think, in the life of a Christian woman. She recognizes that what gives life meaning is not having a particular kind of a job or a certain amount of money or amassing a certain number of possessions, but receiving the gifts of God in a spirit of humility and thanksgiving. And she sees also that when we serve those whom God has given us to serve, for example, tiny babies, little toddlers, washing diapers, wiping little messy noses, we can remember the words of Jesus when he said, inasmuch as you have done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it for me.
This, I take it, is the key message that God has sort of burdened your heart with during these days. Let me be woman. Let me fulfill what God has given me to fulfill. How do we get men to understand this?
Well, basically, I have exactly the same message to men and women, that every one of us is under the command of God to be obedient, to love Him, to serve Him, to worship Him. It's only since the rise of what is called the feminist movement that I've seen the need to reaffirm specifically to women what God has given us in the privileges, the responsibilities, and the limitations of the gift of womanhood. And unfortunately, there are many women out there in their 30s and 40s who have grown up in a time when not only was womanhood not glorified, but it was even considered almost something to be denigrated. Mm. We've been told for decades now that we should forget about words like men and women, masculine and feminine, male and female, and just think about persons. Well, to me, there ain't no such animal as a person who isn't a sexual being. I had a poor girl come charging up to me when I'd spoken on the subject of femininity at a big city church one time, and I could see as she came down the aisle, first of all, I should say that I wasn't really sure whether it was a man or a woman, and you know how unsettling that can be if you can't really tell right off. But somebody belligerent was heading in my direction, and it turned out to be a girl, probably 18 or 19, and she started right in by saying, "Well, I don't like some of the stuff you say about women." And she was chewing gum a mile a minute. And I said, "Well, fine, can you tell me some of the things that you don't like?" And she said, "Well, I don't know." She said, "I just disagree with you on a lot of stuff." She says, "You know, I guess I just don't really like being a woman." Well, it was painfully obvious to me that was the case. And so I asked her how many options she thought there were. And it was clear that the poor girl hadn't really thought through the issues very clearly, but she had been taken for a ride. She'd been sold a bill of goods by people who were doing all they could to suppress, to ignore, to smudge, to erase that glorious God-given distinction between men and women, which I certainly consider as being one of the most fascinating things about the world we live in. Mm-hmm. Can't imagine a world more boring than a unisex world.
The feminist movement, of course, is a strong movement in our world today. Can a woman be a feminist and a Christian? How are we defining, for example, a feminist?
If women who call themselves feminists have read the writings of the leaders of this movement and still call themselves feminists, then I would have some pretty strong things to say. In my experience, most of the women who call themselves Christians and feminists have really not read that material. And what they think feminism means is perhaps the equal pay for equal work. Mm-hmm. And I would say I agree 100%. Yes. If a woman does equal work, she should get equal pay. The truth is that there are not very many cases where women do equal work, where there's been really an issue there. But I wouldn't want to argue that point particularly. That does not constitute a feminist viewpoint. If they feel that a feminist is someone who believes in the full use of women's gifts, I would say I have no quarrel whatsoever with that. You're talking to a woman who believes in the full use of women's gifts. And sometimes, with a certain amount of amusement, I say to these women, "Can you read anything I write, listen to anything I say, look at anything that I've done in my life, and imagine that I would be saying that women are not to use their gifts? Of course we are to use our gifts, as men are." But when Paul speaks about the use of gifts in 1 Corinthians, he makes it very plain that no one, man or woman, is permitted to use God's gifts except in the way that God designs and according to the pattern of discipline and hierarchy, which is spelled out for the church.
What about childbearing and child raising? This is a calling. This is a stewardship as well.
Yes, unquestionably, childbearing is a calling to all of us women, whether God gives us children in the physical sense, that we bear those children physically, or whether he gives us spiritual children. I believe that all women are called to be mothers, and all men are called to be fathers in some sense, and that goes for the singles as well as the married. And I could talk for a long time on the subject of spiritual motherhood, which I won't do right now, but I do believe that as women, we are given the gift of femininity, and femininity, in its essence, means life-bearing. It means surrender. And the only way that we can bear life is to surrender our bodies. And Paul uses exactly those metaphors even for his own spiritual work. In several places, he speaks about being in travail for the perfection in holiness of the Galatian Christians. He speaks of bearing in his body the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus. He says, death works in us and life in you. So there is a sense in which the metaphor of motherhood applies equally to men and women, but there is a very special sense in which it ought to be easier for us women to see how important this life-bearing vocation is to us, because we have been given the standard equipment which reminds us daily that this is the way we were made. We are made to be receivers. We are made to be nurturers, bearers, carriers, responders.
In other words, if we are not correct in our use of our sexuality, there are consequences that are serious personally and to the church.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.